idea about what about news that we get, and you know, kind of how it applies, you know, in our real life situation. I mean, the Lord gave us His Word here, and gave us these stories in the history, and we can learn a lot from them and apply them. I mean, obviously, you come here to with Brother Hoffman, and you get good doctrine, without a doubt, and that's a foundation. And but you know what though? Besides doctrine, there's some a lot of good applications. It's no good to have a lot of head knowledge if you don't apply things. It's like you may have a lot of information. You may have a lot of tools, plumbing tools, and that's great. And then you may learn how they work. But when you take and solve a plumbing problem, that's the application of having the tools, knowledge how to use them, and get something to work. That's all three important. That's the understanding the Bible calls, right? They have the understanding of these things. So, you know, a lot of people may have, you know, some knowledge of Bible, but they have the application, the understanding. That's where it rubber meets the road and so forth, you know. So that's what a lot of times the Proverbs and Psalms tells you. Good to have understanding and knowledge, and wisdom is the understanding of the knowledge and wisdom. So as we look at the scripture here, there's a lot of basic stuff here that can apply to our lives. And last week, I touched base on good news and bad times, and good news and good times, and bad news and bad times, and good news or bad news and good times. And a lot of times through your life, you'll be in a situation, and best thing to remember is, well, how did the Lord work through so-and-so's life? And then all of a sudden, you start applying some things into your life, like, hey, this is true. And what it does, it gives you faith back on the Word of God. You're always pointing back, hey, the Word of God is true. That's why faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. A lot of young people, I remember growing up, I heard other saints talk about these things, reading the Bible. I go, yeah, back in my mind, I just wonder about that. But you get older, wow, how true is the Word of God? And then what's happened a lot of times is the older folks now have gotten doubt in the Word of God. That's why it's important to fight it. And they're doubting it. And what you're doubting is doubting the Word of God. So that's going on rampant in the churches, not here, but very important. So a lot of times when we read the scripture, look at, remember the context, who's speaking, who's addressed to, is it true information, untrue information? A lot of times the motive or the attitude behind what's going on, and a lot of times you find out it's sin. Last time, remember, you got envy, pride, vengeance, anger, and we're going to look at chapter 39 here in Genesis and see how these things just fit in, and pick out some things here that might be surprising to y'all, and see how the Lord worked through Joseph here in chapter 39. If you look at this chapter, it's a very unique chapter, and I want to read it here a little bit and point some things out of here and see how this concept kind of applies what we're talking about here. What we had here in 37, we had Joseph kind of get, you know, sold by the these folks here, the Ishmaelites, and sold to Egypt, and sold to Potiphar. So let's read this here and see what happens to Joseph here. In verse 39, verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer all over his home, over his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house, and in the field. Now, obviously, Joseph here is kind of in a bad situation. I think about it. Here he was, 18, 19 years old. He's in unfamiliar situation. He had probably a language barrier there somewhere. He had probably learned language. Surroundings, culture. I missed, obviously, his father. The fellowship he had with his father. Younger brother. He's thinking probably, well, my other brother's pulled this on me. Look what was going on here. You can imagine all the things going on in his mind. And what happened a lot of times? A lot of times the biggest enemies are our mind. We're thinking of something, all that, you know. I mean, you know, a dirty rascal, whatever, you know. And I'm not kidding you, though, and that affects us. So that's why it's important to look at the situation we're in. Look at what someone that the Lord used and follow that example. Okay? I mean, here in the New Testament, it's followers of me. That's Paul. Paul was a great example. Well, look what Paul did. You know? So this is what's happening here. Obviously, Joseph was in a bad place, but let's look what happened to him here. How did he react when no one was looking around at him? You know, that's kind of a key thing. How we, you know, when you're in church, you know, how you doing, brother and sister? You know, how you acting outside? You know what though? You know, you should be the same here that you're at home, that you're out at the workforce, whatever you're doing. You should be the same. I mean, otherwise, you know, that's called a hypocrite. You know, one thing I remember growing up, remember Leave It to Beaver? Remember Eddie Haskell? Okay, remember, oh, hi, Mrs. Cleaver, how are you doing? You're so nice-looking dress you have there, and your hair. And I mean, it was almost comical, right? You remember Eddie Haskell? And then he go see Beaver, you dirty rascal, and everything, you know? I mean, it was so hypocritical, it was funny. But you know what, there are a lot of people like that, you know? You know what, though? Even hypocrites don't like something like that. But you know what, though? Joseph wasn't like that. Here he was away, you know, from influence of his dad. But he still obviously had to learn things of the Lord. So that's very important. Potiphar saw the Lord's hand upon him. That's a good thing. It's good that people see that you're walking with the Lord. That's a very, very critical thing here. It says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that had friends must show himself friendly. But very interesting here. Next part of verses, and there is a friend that's to get closer than a brother. Now that's very interesting how that is written, because sometimes it ain't easy to be friendly. Or what happened is sometimes they ain't be friendly to some people. That's just the way it is. But you know what though? If the Lord is a friend of yours, and he should be if you're saved, amen? I mean, the friend, you got a friend of the Lord. So you know what though? That should be our example, is the Lord. He's a friend of yours, and you should be a friend of others, and people should see that. And so I'm seeing that here is Joseph in the house, and you know what? He's trying to do the best thing. A spot he's in, and the Lord blessed him for his sake. You know, I think of that one hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, written by John Schnibben. You know the story behind John Schnibben? John Schnibben was somebody from England, or Ireland, I believe, and he was saved at a young age, and he was going to marry his childhood sweetheart. Imagine a young guy, you got a gal, you waited for her, you're young, you might get married, how funny that is, and the day before he was to marry her, he was going to meet her somewhere. This is back 1800s where they were driving, you know, horses and chariots, not chariots, but you know, things like that. And apparently her cart tipped over, and he came by to meet her, and she was pulling her out of the river. She drowned. What a tragic thing. The day before you get married, you're all excited, making arrangements, and she's dead. He was obviously heart-stricken, and he moved to New Hope, Canada, Ontario, Canada. And he goes, hey, you know what though? I'm just going to serve the Lord. And he was known for the Good Samaritan there. And he did things, if you can pay for it, he worked for you. He wanted to do things for free. I guess his parents had some, folks of means. And he did things. And for 20 or 30 years, he just did things like that. But you know what happened? His heart got, you know, healed over that young lady. And he met another young lady, a school teacher, and was going to marry her. And 30 days before he married her, she contracted scarlet fever and she died. That's tragic. I mean, not a doubt. And so he wrote a poem to his mother back in Ireland. It's that "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's probably one of the most popular songs we have today. But you see, a lot of the hymns were written when God was moving in their life some way and some tragic things. See, things grow kind of in the valley, not on the mountaintops. Amen? So, you know, hey, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. It was a poem. And what rumor is it? When she got home, within a matter of a day, they had some music to it. It's probably one of the most popular hymns of all time. What a friend we have in Jesus. See, he knew during trial the friendship of the Lord. That's the application here. I look at Joseph here. He was a friend of the Lord. Now think about it. He didn't have any word of God like we have. We didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit like we have today. You know, different. But he still had that friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of the in all things, the bad things he's had, you know, God is showing you, well, here he is. Look what's happened with him here, you know. So no doubt about it, he had a testimony. Do folks get a blessing from being around you? That's a key. Vance Havner said, some people are gone but not forgotten. But some people are forgotten but not gone. You want to be the first, amen? You know, I mean, you want to, you know, people, you know, so you want people to be around you. In 2 Corinthians 13:7-11, it says here, New Testament, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest. Though we be as reprobates, we can't do nothing against the truth, for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and we are strong. In this also we wish, even our perfection. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord had given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and of God of love and peace shall be with you. That's kind of where we should be, obviously, in life with the Lord. And I think, without a doubt, Joseph was sharing. It's very interesting what happens to here. It says here, and it came to pass, in verse 7. What's interesting about that word, and it came to pass? It appears 8 times in this chapter, and it came to pass. More times than any other chapter in the entire Bible. I think it appears 466 times in the Old Testament. And the Bible people, correctors, don't like that word. It's a good word. What the Lord, I think, is trying to do here, he's putting down a series of events. And there's always a little time in between it came to pass. If you look at that, sometimes it's 40 days, sometimes it's a few minutes. But he's telling you a series of events that are happening. It came to pass. And so no time does it appear more. The Lord's telling us, pay a little more attention to what's happening over here. So what's interesting to us, and it came to pass. Verse 6 here. And he left all that he had to Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And here it says, and it came to pass again. It says 8 times. After these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, I go, well, you know, what's going on here? Obviously, she was trying to seduce him, obviously. But you know what, though? Why is that? Well, I think you have to look at what verse I read, verse 6. She is married to Potiphar, and, you know, this is what I'm thinking. He's probably both about the good deal he got from the, bought Joseph, bragging about him. Remember, all that he had, he let him do it. She probably was some spoiled wife with all these servants, and what, they had a responsibility. All that he had, he was doing, she's feeling left out. I could see what's going on out there, you know. Here's, you know, he's probably that pillow talk, oh, that Joseph guy. You know, all he knew was the bread he's eating. What that's going on there? Jealousy, envy. So always some sins underlying some shenanigans, right? You think about that. Always something, there's always a motive, something going on there. And she's just like, oh, man, look at this Joseph guy. Maybe, you know, she should be doing some of those things. Thus saying Timothy to the woman, marry young, bear children, guide the house, right? So the lady is supposed to guide the house. It seemed like Joseph was guiding the house a little more here, even though it was a principal. And she just probably, you know, I don't really like what's going on here, you know. I mean, so of course, you know, she's taking things kind of in her her own hands here. Now, interesting is, in verse 8, finally Joseph speaks here. What's interesting is, he hadn't said anything recorded until last time he said something was Genesis 37:16. Look at that thing. So, interesting is, the story's going on, and Joseph's not saying too much. And you know, he's saying something. In 37:16, the last words Joseph recorded are, and he said, I seek my brethren, tell me, I pray thee, where they feed flocks. He was following what his father said. So here he is, he's doing the will of the father. That's the last thing he said until now. Now, obviously, when he spoke along the way, obviously he was in that when he's in that pit, he's like, you're kidding me, right? Right, guys? It's a joke, right? You can imagine all things he was saying. Something. God says, I didn't say anything about him. Let's just, nothing recorded until right here. So what's interesting is the Lord's just kind of showing you the situation, and he's trusting in Joseph. I mean, I have to say anything. Joe, you know, Joseph's a strong person. I mean, if we had conversations going on, this book would be this thick, I'm sure. The books could contain him. So here's what he says. Behold, my master was not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here he is. He's planting his feet and taking a stand. That's a good thing. And kind of interesting, in type, look here. There's Adam and Eve in the garden. All they had is, don't touch the tree. And here he is. He has, in type, he has everything he has. And one thing he can't touch, the wife. Isn't that something? Well, the devil always try to get you something that you can't do. You know that? Just, there's something over there. No. You know, it's like a kid, you know, put all these toys except that one, because that's your cousin's. That's the one he wants to play with. Amen? That's just the way our nature is, you know. So here he is, finally recorded. He speaks. And to young folks here, this is, if you have a chance to read Proverbs 5 and 6 and 7, there's some very good warnings here about, you know, about things that can happen here. It says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou cannot know them. What's happening? A lot of times the flesh takes over. You know what happens? And we just forget things. That's why it says the lust of the flesh, which is warned about, that's young people. Then you have the lust of the eyes. Generally, you get a little older. You got a little resources, things you can buy, right? And it says the pride of life, final step of life. Look what I've accomplished. See how the stages there? You got that flesh with young people. You've got a couple dollars generally. I'm going to buy that. And then there I am. Look at me. Ah, that's that. Those three stages of folks, whatever. You got to be careful of that, whatever. You know, don't have a few dollars, but you got to be careful. Right there. So here's young folks. And you have that lust of that flesh. Very dangerous here. Proverbs 6:24-27 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. From the abundance of the heart, there's a heart thing going in the heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? That they may keep thee from a strange woman, from a stranger which flattered with her words. A lot of warning. There's a lot of warning in there, folks, about the boy. You know, I do for a living estate planning, and one thing about my business, I get a ton of stories. Because you know why? They're throwing things out, what's going on in their life. And man, I tell you, most of it ain't good. I'd probably spend hours to tell you stories of things that just people made bad decisions or that cost them, you know, physically, emotionally, saved and lost. It's just, you know, a tough spot to be in. So here we have Joseph being tempted by this lady, Potiphar's wife, trying to trip him up any way she can, you know, by, hey, here I am. And it came to pass, as she spake Joseph day by day, and it came to pass, lie with me. You have four or five verses here of her trying to continue to beat him. I got a verse here in Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You know, and that could be a lot of ways. It could be nagging. It could be seduction. You know what that's called? That's called a Chinese water torture. You ever hear that, what that is? What they do? They continually put a little drop on your head. And you think, what's the big deal? But the continual, boom, boom, it drives you nuts. I if you look at that thing, how can that be? It's just drop, 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 drop. Same thing with a nagging. Or something with, hey, come on, you know, come after me, you know? You know, so obviously that's going on here, and we know that Joseph passed the sex test. Now his brother, Judah, last chapter did not. You know that, if you read the next chapter, Judah failed it. That kind of sad. He's passing in here. And it came to pass, here it says in the verse 12, and it came to pass when she saw that. Oh, here it is. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into his house to do his own business, and there was none in the house of the house there within. So now she sees she's got an opportunity here. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called the men of the house, this is set up, we call this, you know, set up, you know, and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried aloud. Going on here. This is here. See that? Hebrew. She's bringing in the race card. Going on today? White supremacy. Nothing changes. It's like, you know, and what's she doing? She's calling the servants us, trying to get you in on the scam. You see that? You get that. Nothing changes, folks. It's like, hey, white supremacy. Oh, hey, you know, look, it's over here. Look, they're sinning against us. Now, I don't know. Maybe some of these people in the house, they might been jealous or envious of Joseph too. You know why? He had to reign the whole place, right? So I don't know them. Maybe they wanted his job. See, you know, be careful. You step on the way up. You may step on the way down too, whatever, you know what I mean? So who knows all that? But obviously, you can imagine what's going on. You know, if you're flying on the wall, you know, Joseph has to reign the house here, and maybe some of those people wanted his job. That's the corporate world out there. And of course, she's probably a smart gal. Couldn't get him that way. Calling in that little Hebrew guy over there, you know? It's like now, you know, they bring in those Christian people, or you're left. Always trying to, you know, they're causing the trouble. Nothing ever changes, folks. It's an amazing thing how this Bible is so relevant in time. So what happened here is, sometimes bad things happen to good people, and as Joseph is going through, he's like, what happened now? I mean, I can imagine, you know, I get in the pit, no fault of my own, and then I get out, the Lord's here, I get raised up, and now look at this. But you see, you know, we're reading this book here, we have the final story. Hey, folks, we have the final chapter in Revelation. That's why God gave it to us. I mean, we got the whole, we got the end of the story. When I was growing up, you know what I did? I got a book, and that's just what my personality is. I go to the last chapter, read the ending first. That's the way it was. I go through all this stuff. I want to read what the bottom line is. I go to the final thing and say, well, okay, I got it. Well, I read all the other stuff. Waste my time. I never liked to read when I was a kid, you know? So we have it. God gave us the final chapter here. And it came to pass when she heard, lift up his voice, is 15. He flew. Now she's telling the servants. Again, in verse 17, and she spake unto him according to these words, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came into me, blaming it on the Hebrew, bringing people in here again. And it came to pass, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. All true facts, but she just turned the story around the other way. Boom. And when it came to pass, in verse 39, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, this is my interpretation. This is my interpretation. Comes home, his wife gives him the story. Now, he probably knew his wife a little bit. Maybe she had wandering eyes, a little about him. And he was the captain of the guard. Now, Paul, if you got home one day and your wife told you a servant was trying to come after your wife, would he be dead, wounded, or see other? Oh, okay, there. Okay, hey, well, see what happened here? He wasn't dead. I think Potiphar liked Joseph. Look at what he said. He gave him all he had. He's like, oh, man, this is my buddy here. I mean, he had it made in the shade. And so he was caught between a rock and a hard place. And by the way, back here, all this ruckus was for nothing. You know, I think I got a little, you know, Pastor always has these sayings. Well, I have my note. I got one myself. A big ruckus for nothing. Should you call all this ruckus for nothing? See that little saying there, you know, we can mark them down, whatever, another one there. But so here is Potiphar getting information, and he's like, I think he's being wrong with that. What do I do with this situation? I got my wife over here, and like I remember in the other book of the Bible, Esther, that when the king would come, she was cut off. Why wasn't her? I don't know. Maybe she got him the job in the palace. The king, who knows? And say that. Maybe she's the one, maybe she got her husband the job, the captain of guards, and she could say anything. That's called politics. A lot going on, you know. Politics, remember? Poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking parasites. Not a good thing, you know? So here we go. So he's like, oh, man, what's going on here? So look what he did. This is why I say this. God gave us a scripture. Sometimes you kind of look at it and go, am I reading into it? What happened here? You try to find some scripture. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he put them in prison. I think he took them personally, going, oh man. I think he took them over there personally, kind of disappointed in the whole situation. He didn't cut off his head like if it was really what would happen. So he's trying to bring him over. The thing maybe is something happened to his wife, he'd call him back. I don't know all that, but he brought him there. I have a funny suspicion that he brought him there and goes, take care, Joseph. You know, maybe here's a few dollars. Take care, make sure, you know. And I remember it was the king's prison. Maybe it was the Ladiah prison. I don't know. I'm just giving you some ideas here, you know, where he took him there personally and stuck him in there. And now you can just imagine when he got back home, she probably wanted him dead. And now I guarantee one day we'll find out, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, probably miserable. Probably, you know, the Lord just wasn't in that house anymore because it blessed them for Joseph's sake, right? So now he's gone out of the equation. And you know what's happening? Probably he got this nagging wife, you know, causing trouble. He liked what's going on. Probably miserable. Don't see that, but I just kind of smile and wonder what happened on all that matter. Now look what happened here. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. That's almost very similar to verse 6. It says right here, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. See how that thing goes? No matter what situation happened, kind of a bad situation, maybe he's going from bad to worse in the prison, but the Lord still prospered Joseph. Why? He standed on the Lord Jesus, the Lord back then. What he knew to be the Lord. And that's something that we have to remember. In Proverbs 14:25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. So here he was standing on the Lord without the scripture, a complete scripture. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And it's 1 Kings 18:21. Think about this. Remember, Elijah came to all people and said, how long have thou between two opinions? If thou be the Lord of God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. And people answered him not a word. I think that's kind of what Potiphar was at. He was in between two opinions. There's his wife's, which she was accusing him, and she saw, and it said there that Potiphar saw the Lord was with him. He knew it was. There was something supernatural going on there. I don't know what it was, but he said Potiphar saw the Lord. So there it was, the Lord and his wife, I think the Lord obviously was in the whole matter, because you know the rest of the story. He took him down into the jail, put him down there, and prospered him accordingly. It's important to stand fast on the Lord. I remember one time I mentioned I was a Gideon, and we would give Bibles to high schools and grade schools, and it was a middle school that we went to, and it was real nice middle school because there was a school, there was an area they walk in, and there was a sidewalk, which is public area, and then they had the buses come here, so legally we could stand on the sidewalk and give out, you know, scriptures. And we come dressed in suits, and we were there 1 year, and we went, my friend went in to tell the school that we're there, not ask permission, just to be out of courtesy, tell them we're here. Because we don't understand, we just say, hey, we're here, give out Bibles, just so you know, and there are men out there, and the principal, you know, a deacon in a Lutheran church, you know, I'm a deacon in a church, he couldn't stand it. He just could not stand it, and you know, things go pretty quickly. Their kids come out. They're busting behind me. We gave up Bibles. And he was just completely ready to tumult. Next time you come here, I'm calling the police. And so make note of that. Every year we do distribution because kids move through schools, you know, now. So new kids are coming in. So sure enough, I'm making sure I'm in distribution. You know, I kind of like a little excitement, you know. So I went to distribution. They came in. I'm calling the police. And there were five of us standing here quite a long ways out in the middle. And the principal's right there. And kids are coming out. And I'm handing out Bibles like candy, you know. These are middle schools. Looks like anything, you know. Handing out Bibles. And I'm literally down to almost no box. I'm showing the principal. They're almost all gone. You know, maybe a little agitated, you know. And sure enough, here comes the police. Bald-headed cop. This is the closest I ever got to being arrested in my life. And what he does, he points right at me. Get that guy right there. Point at me. I go, oh, man, I'm by me, you know. So he comes over, and he grabs my arm. You're going to jail. Oh, man, I'm going to go to jail, you know. Even though I'm not worried about it, I get off. But I just didn't want, you know, what's the hassle, right, you know. So he's taking me. I have my box of Bible. I have two left. He's taking me, and he's taking me to his car. Well, it just so happened his car parks my car. You know, Lord set up of all the places to park, he parked right next to me around the corner. And I'm praying, Lord, I don't want to go to jail here. You know, help me out here. So I said to the police officer, I go, hey, sir, here, take this box. And he took his hands off me and took the box. You know, and he took this box of Bibles. And he's standing there. I go, well, I'm going to leave now, sir. Okay, I'm getting my car. And I'm trying to get in the car. I just buzz out. He's sitting there holding the box of Bibles. There were two in the Bible. So I ring on his hander, one for him and his wife. And off I drove. I mean, I around the corner, I took it out of there, you know. But, I mean, you know, that's the point being, is stand for the Lord. You stand, whatever you do, you stand for the Lord. A little interesting story about that. Show you how there's always another story behind it. We know the story ends here with Joseph. But because of not being able to do that school, and the Gideons, if you can't do a school, they have a thing called undistributed fund, where then you can give out, go to like a festival and order Bibles that they'll pay for to give out scriptures. So because of that one guy not allowed to come in there, we didn't want to hassle anymore and cause trouble. Why go through that? So we did the Downers Grove Heritage Fest for 10 years, and we gave out between 2,000 and 3,000 Bibles per year at the festival that we normally would not have given out. So that guy probably never known that, but because of his, you know, unwillingness to have to be there, we were able to give out probably 20, 30,000 Bibles throughout those years out at Heritage Fest. We had a free booth. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was great. We gave out Bibles, witnessing. People, in fact, I was in Downers Grove about a few years ago where a guy came by, told me he got saved reading one of those Bibles. So the Lord is always in these matters. It's just in your life, you just got to, you know, it seems like a bad situation. It's bad news. You know, all stuff going on. Hey, just relax. You got all these examples that God put here, and we have a lot of the stories. And the ones that stand for the Lord's in there, and the ones that not with sin and people that had troubles, you see the problem. So the Bible says it was written for our instruction and understanding and examples, right? So, you know, why have trouble yourself? You got the examples of the scripture of people. I mean, so use them. So, okay. First Corinthians, I'll close with this here. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there you are. That's our foundation. Now, it talks about judgment seat of Christ there, but that is our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Like that verse, 1 Corinthians 11, you know why I like it? I had that on my license plate for many years on one of my cars. And we had a Christmas party, and they gave away these gift cards, and they would have questions about the office thing happening in the air. And one of the questions that was the tiebreaker was, what scripture is on the back of Tim Dumas' car? Now, they didn't know it, but I knew it. I walked out, you know. And so, of course, I knew that thing, and I got the gift card. You know, kind of nice though. Sometimes it pays to put the scripture on your car, or whatever. I mean, you know. So there's a good example, but it's true there. For other foundation can no man lay, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the. We've got the Old Testament history. We see good things happening, bad things happening, good times, bad times. We see the motivation. A lot of them. Look what happened to Joseph. He's in jail here. The Lord's prospering him here, and he just trusts in the Lord. And that's should be our desire to be like them. Now we've got the completed Word of God, Christ living in us, the hope of glory. We know what the final story is. So we should be examples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this portion of scripture here in Genesis 39. It seems like nothing changes. Same thing over and over again. The heart of man and women are just desperately wicked, Father. And you know it, Father, and you know situations that we're in. And I'm sure a lot of times I fail a few times and a bunch of times, Lord, and that you still had mercy and grace. And I just pray, Father, for everyone here, Lord, that they would remember some of these things, Father, and ponder them in their heart and understand these things so they can be used of thee. And when good times or bad times or troubles and trials come, that they'll be able to stand for thee and give glory to you and know the foundation that we have. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.